Hello everyone and welcome to the Entrepreneur's Journey. It's really always a pleasure to share with you the show and share people's entrepreneurial journey to success. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, I wanted to provide a brief insight as to what the show is all about. So my goal and aim with this show is to interview entrepreneurs from around the world to share their journey and story of success. From where they first started, their humble beginnings. And that may even be before they started their journey or before they started thinking about even becoming an entrepreneur. And then we look at some of the challenges and obstacles that they faced and what's led them to where they are today. And then we're looking at what they do today and how they make a difference and give back to the world. Today, I have the real pleasure and privilege to interview Jackie from South Africa, and we're going to be finding out more about her story from magazine publisher and editor to now social media guru. And in some ways, I would say she's a social media queen. She's done a great job of getting the message out for this event today, and I've been following her on social media for quite a while. So welcome, Jackie. Thank you for coming along today. Tell us a bit more about yourself before we get started.
Andy, thank you so much for inviting me to participate. I really appreciate it, and for your kind words, you are very generous. I wouldn't say I'm a guru. I'm just a lifelong learner. But before I became a publisher or a social media queen or any of that, I was a teacher and was actually chatting a little bit tonight to my mom, saying, you know, it's actually funny because I've always had this penchant for technology. I was 3 years old and I was programming the DVD player. Yeah. I remember my dad getting his first PC when I was about 10. And I started fiddling and learning how to use it and showed an interest in programming from quite an early age, although that didn't work out too well. But always been interested in technology, always been a bit of a gadget freak, and always enjoyed people and wanted to help people. And I think that's really what led me down the road of education and becoming a teacher. But that also didn't last forever. There's been a lot of change and a lot of growth, and yeah, it's been fun.
Excellent. So today you would regard yourself as a social media trainer and teacher, where you share some tools and strategies of how people can use social media successfully in their life and their business, you know?
Yes, that's definitely a big part of what I do. In the beginning, I was doing a lot of management for people, whereas now I've kind of gone back to my teaching roots, where I would prefer to consult to people and to advise them on strategy and to let them execute using their own teams internally or to outsource it, and I can assist with that as well, but it's not where I want to be. I prefer to do the teaching and training and the consulting.
Excellent. So now let's jump into your story. So it's been really interesting to actually chat with you before the show to find out more about your story, and I'm really excited to share this with everybody else today. So tell us about where you started as an entrepreneur or even beginning. Was at the start of every journey, like the behind the ethos for the show is all about the hero's journey. It's usually a place of pain and discomfort. Did you ever find you were in a place of pain and discomfort yourself, and you wanted to do something different, make a change? And this probably was what led you on your path today.
Pain and discomfort. Many, many times. We are old friends and they show up regularly, but I don't dislike them because they are catalysts for growth.
Yeah.
And they're catalysts for positive change. And I think if you're entrepreneurially minded, you know, you are a lot more inclined to roll with, whatever comes your way in terms of you know, the things that life throws at you. So I grew up with parents who were both entrepreneurs. Both my parents worked for themselves, and I was determined, as I said, to become a teacher. and to pursue a profession, because I remember my parents really going through a lot of trials and tribulations in their businesses, making a lot of money and doing incredibly well. You know, my dad owned a fleet of trucks and was very involved in the metal industry in South Africa, and then having a crash and losing everything. And I just decided quite early on, no, I don't like the instability that having your own business brings. Yeah. I'm going to become a teacher. And I did. And I studied, and even in my teaching, my very first job, I worked for 6 months, and the principal of the local primary school in Knysna, which is a little town about 40 kilometers away from where I live now, the local principal had known me as a young girl, and he offered me a great opportunity where he said, come and start an ECD center, basically for the grade R, the reception of children at our primary school. Start it, grow it. He incentivized me. He really supported me, and he let me run it like my own business. So that was an amazing opportunity for a teacher fresh out of a training college and university. And I did that, and I did that for 2 years, and it grew phenomenally. And, you know, I was a catalyst in starting the first ever inter-preschool sporting event, with 10 schools getting involved and taking part across town, and really loved it, enjoyed it a lot. But the business juices were always kind of, you know, bubbling and brewing in the background. Yeah. And I moved to Pretoria when I met my husband, and it wasn't long before, at the school where I started teaching there, that again, business opportunities presented themselves. And before I knew it, I was teaching full time, but also running and managing the aftercare facility for 100 learners at the school, with one of the teachers as a partner. So I ran that as a business for a while. But that pain and discomfort that you spoke about earlier, it hit home at a point where we had a change in leadership at the school, and the new principal that came in, she was great, but I didn't often see eye to eye with her, and I felt a bit stifled, and it was kind of in the back of my mind, like, you know, should I look for another school or whatever, but it's not in my nature. I tend to really stick it out when the going gets rough. Yeah. Needless to say, opportunities present themselves when we're going through tough times. And one of the things that happened at the school was that the teachers I was working with, many of them would come to me and would say, don't you have ideas for what we can do in our classroom this week? You know, you're always doing such creative stuff with the kids. We need ideas. Can't we look at your planning? Yeah. And this went on for quite a while until I realized, you know what? There's a market for this. There are a lot of teachers who need help. Planning for teachers takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort and energy, and there's a gap here. And so what I did was I started a magazine for teachers. But obviously, being a first-time business owner, I made a lot of mistakes, because I insisted that the quality of this magazine be top notch. I wasn't prepared to start with black and white or an A5 booklet. It had to be A4, full color, UV gloss on the camera.
Before we get into some of your challenges, let me ask you a few questions, because I know that you had a few doubts before you started your magazine, didn't you?
And are you kidding?
I remember you sharing them with me. That's why I thought I wanted to bring them up. Because the lady that you were working with on the magazine, didn't you say that to me at one point that you had a few doubts about whether you could put the magazine out, whether you could make it a success? Because she had big visions for you, and did you find yourself a bit worried about pursuing this something so big or making such a change in what you were doing? You know,
I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified, because I had this vision, I had this product, you know, I'd done the maths. I'd said to my, I'd got business partners involved, and we were really going to go in, and we needed R1 million capital to get started.
Yeah.
We could only raise 600,000, and that already made me nervous because I was going, you know, we need R1 million to get to the break even point. And my partners were so enthusiastic and they really believed in the product and they were so completely gung ho. They said, no, we're going to push it harder on the sales. We'll get other investors in later. It doesn't matter. Let's go for it. And, I was so scared that nobody was going to like it, that I was hell bent on putting out this top quality print magazine monthly, as a free publication and trying to pay for it using an advertising model. And what I discovered was that that would have been a very, very big mistake. Luckily, I had a partner who had a bit of a corporate and marketing background, and she turned around and she said to me, I am putting a subscription form in this magazine before it goes out, and it is going to be sold. Like, they can have their first copy free, and if they like it, then they must subscribe.
So if and I was we sent out to what was that shift within you that said, I can do this? Was there anything within you that changed? Was it some people in your life? Was it the lady that relentlessly pursued the fact that you needed to do this magazine? Or was it your husband? Or was it a mixture of different people that helped you sort of, you know, believe more in yourself and take that next step, you know?
Andy, I really think that it was a mixture of things, but more than anything, the thing that I find spurs me on, and I don't know about some of my friends who are watching who are also business owners, it seems to be almost like an entrepreneurial trait. It's something that you got to prove to yourself. It isn't about being in competition with anyone else. It's about doing it for yourself and saying, I can do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to prove to myself I can do this. It's the same reason that you would take part in a sport like running or in gym, where you're pushing yourself physically every day, but you're competing against your own personal best. It was something I needed to do.
Yeah.
And I was terrified. I kept saying to my partners, what if they don't like it? What if it doesn't work? We wasted all this money. And yet, in my gut, I knew that there was a demand for it, and I knew it was going to help a lot of people.
So now that you've taken that step, it seems as though that you didn't let that fear overcome you. You let that courage take over and take that step, you know. So as we move into your journey a bit further, and you actually set on track to actually start the magazine, what were some of the problems you faced along that journey as you were growing and developing and building the magazine that you've released, you know?
Well, Andy, one of the biggest challenges that we had was because, look, we started the magazine in 2007, and obviously hard copy printing, especially the quality that I was insistent on, was a fair and formidable monthly expense. So that was definitely a challenge. We started already looking for ways to cut costs on the printing. And obviously we knew that we didn't have as much capital as we needed. So we got quite a big sales team involved. I had about 9 sales girls working for me, approaching schools and really pushing the product, and it was being well received. That was not a problem. But a lot of people, one of the things was cash flow, and I think that's a struggle that most business owners can relate to at some point or another.
Yeah.
Because you'd get signed subscription forms coming in like crazy, with teachers and schools subscribing to this magazine, and then their payments would only come through much later. So we would have to pay for the printing and the distribution without the payments ahead of time. And it started becoming quite stressful at the end of the month, you know.
Yeah.
But needless to say, entrepreneurs are problem solvers, and I was very fortunate to have a lot of good input from different people in my life, and at a point we pivoted. It was under a lot of pressure, it was tough, it was scary again, because I was quaking in my boots going, okay, so now we're going to move. We're going to pivot. We're going to change from a hard copy magazine to a digital edition. And it wasn't fully digital. We pivoted, I think, in 2009 and we switched to CDs. So we would put all the magazine would go onto a CD, a printed CD, and the teachers would get the posters and the resources printed on A2. But that was the only printing. So we really cut costs like that. But we were still struggling with distribution. The South African Postal Services, for my South African friends like Lynette and Peter and Nisha who are watching, how's it, guys? And they'll attest to the fact that the South African Postal Service isn't always a sterling example of efficiency. And so that was a big challenge. We were still struggling to say, okay, how are we going to deal with the distribution issues? Yep. And that's when I started looking at online media and saying, hang on, you know, there's got to be an easier way, which led to a lot of interesting discoveries, namely Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and also opening a new market in New Zealand. And I had never created the magazine with a global market in mind because I thought to myself, South African teachers need South African resources that fit the context. They need things in our official languages, you know. So a lot of the language and literacy exercises in the magazine covered some of the indigenous languages in South Africa. And I thought to myself, the rest of the world isn't interested in that. They don't need it. So it would never work overseas. I was proven wrong. That's one other thing with the business. And those of you who have businesses, Andy, you'll attest to this. Oftentimes you'll come up with a product or a service and you will have a certain purpose for it in mind, but how other people interpret it could be completely different.
So,
and so we started selling in New Zealand and that was great.
If I was,
but it was still a challenge
with your shift to social media, because we're coming towards the two thirds of the show, so we need to move on a bit, a slight bit. But as you moved into social media, so from your magazine, then through to social media, what was a big shift? I mean, were there a lot of learnings that you took over from your digital magazine that you brought into social media, and that allowed you to get some more success in what you were doing at that time? And I imagine you had a much bigger belief in yourself as you progressed in that business as well, you know.
That was one of the things that definitely did help. You know, I started exploring digital marketing for the magazine and I fell in love with social media at the time and was really just, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I was really nurtured and incubated by the Us Guys community. People like Stephen Caggiano and people like Cherie Worrell who are watching played quite an integral role in helping me get the hang of this new thing, you know, and it was really, really about the friendships and about the people. And that's what drew me to it. And that's why I loved it so much. But, you know, the magazine, there was demand for it. Young business, we ran out of capital and we were so close to the tipping point. I needed 4,000 subscribers to break even. I closed the doors voluntarily with 3,600 subscribers.
Yeah.
And to this day, I still get emails every day from teachers asking me for magazines and asking me for back copies. But if I'd had more experience, I may have pursued getting further investments. There's a lot of things I may have done differently, but I'm glad that things worked out the way they worked, because when it came to social media and moving in a new direction, I definitely learned a lot and I gained courage. I wasn't afraid or as afraid the second time around to try something new. And I think that's actually something that gets serial entrepreneurs going, because
what was that? What would you say that shift was within you within that moment? Because it's always it's never an external shift really. I always find that it's an internal shift of how we feel, how we approach something. I would say sometimes it's like a light bulb moment. But what was that light bulb moment for you at that time, taking that step, obviously pursuing your own social media?
I think, Andy, really, it's so difficult to say, you know, But I think it was just a sense of, it sounds like such a cliche, but if you can dream it, you can do it. Because I'd taken something that had just been a dream, just a concept, just an idea, and I'd made it real and I'd made it happen. Yeah. And it's just being able to do that and seeing that happen, gives you a lot of drive to be able to go forward and to try new things. You know, it's human nature. I mean, if you look at children and how they develop, success breeds success. Every time we experience a success, no matter what the setbacks and difficulties and challenges might be, it gives us a building block to move on to the next one. So
definitely.
Yeah, I definitely think it was just that sense of I can do this, I can make it real. And my very first social media client was a 4-star boutique hotel in Johannesburg. And it was early days with them. That was in 2010.
Yeah.
And they were kind of my social guinea pigs, really. Yeah. But I enjoyed that. I had to take a sabbatical. One of my little boys got very ill. And I took almost a year sabbatical from social media before being approached to do media for some South African TV shows. The very first show that I did was for a show for entrepreneurs called The Big Great Legacy Show. And that, incidentally, is how we met.
It was, yeah.
Because
was.
I remember sitting opposite you on a Google Plus Hangout and interviewing you on how to use Google Plus for entrepreneurs and business owners for The Big Break Legacy Show, which was a South African show with a R5 million investment prize for the winners.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate to gain a lot of experience doing that and to work with some big names and some big players in the industry. And that really served as a springboard to take me forward in my business.
So let me ask, who would you see as your inspiration or your mentors, your guides that really spurred you on throughout your journey? Because we all have those people that give us that warm feeling, you could say, and inspire us, motivate us. You know, you could say many different words, but I would say really that motivation and really those mentor and coaches within our lives that helped us move forward. Who would you say was yours?
You know, I've never had a formal mentor, mm-hmm. but I've had a lot of people that have knowingly and unknowingly played very important key roles in my life, just in terms of the influence that they've had on me. And one of them is obviously my mother, because she is a businesswoman who has had a lot of experience and has always been able to input positively and encourage and motivate me. But I also had the very first school principal, who retired when I started the magazine. That lady is a very special lady. She has mentored me in a lot of ways with a lot of life experience from working with all sorts of people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key. You know, you can do anything if you can work with people, because really, we all have to work with each other. No man is an island.
Oh,
and so if you can get that right, you can get anything right.
What would you say the biggest lesson you learned from your mentors along the way? Because we all learn lessons from those people. There's not ever one thing, but if there was one thing, what would you say it would be?
Sure. I learned to, you know, being an entrepreneur, you tend to be hardwired to lead, even if you lead from behind, which is something that I like to do. I if I work with a team, I don't want to be the face of the team. I like to lead from behind. But when I was going through a particularly difficult time, this woman taught me to submit to the management and the leadership, even though they were, I don't want to say in the wrong, but even although I didn't agree with their methods, even although it didn't always add up, to kind of buckle down and know when to say something and when to keep quiet. And I think as a person with an outgoing personality and who is quite outspoken, even though I'm not confrontational, knowing when to speak and when to shut up has been one of my big lessons. And I've had a lot of influence from my mentors with that.
So final question as we sort of close out the show and we invite the guests in. Who would you describe yourself as now, as a social media person, as a mother, as a wife? In business, who would you describe yourself as?
You know, Andy, I don't like labels. I don't like being put in a box.
Yeah.
And I don't like putting other people in boxes. Mm-hmm. It's a human tendency for us to do it. I used to buck against it in the schooling system because teachers having been a teacher, I know you have these tendencies to label kids.
Yeah.
But I don't like labeling myself. So the best I can say is I'm a work in progress because I can look back and see how far I've come and I can still see how far I have to go. I haven't arrived yet. But at the same time, I can stand where I am in the present and look you in the eyes and say, I'm grateful for where I'm at and I'm excited about what's to come and I'm thankful for all the tough times and all the good times that I've had in the past because they've all helped to bring me to where I am today.
And so looking at social media, what would you say that the biggest thing that you've learned from social media that you can now pass on to other people as learnings?
Social media is not about how big your following is. It's about the quality of the connections that you make. Are you really interested in other people or is it all about me?
Yeah.
And if you can make it about other people a lot more of the time, you're going to be successful. Because promoting other people and helping other people and truly caring about other people has a very funny way of coming back to you. You know, I always say to friends of mine, give love.
Yeah.
And most of them do. And I say, give love as you do because it'll all come back.
Definitely.
And that's a lesson for life as much as it is for social media.
I couldn't agree more with that statement. It's funny how it works. You can give and give and give and it's amazing. And then, you know, at the odd times, you know, strange times when you don't least expect it, everybody just jumps in and say, oh, how can I help you? You know, and it's funny how it works, but it's the universe is incredible, isn't it? So if I was to ask you one final thing, so why would you say you do what you do now? And how do you give back to the world with what you do?
Andy, I do what I do now because I love people. If I didn't do what I'm doing now, I would still find a way to help people.
Yeah.
So that's probably the most fulfilling part of my job is finding out ways to make other people's businesses successful, to build other people's brands. And in doing so, mine gets built automatically. I don't have to focus on that. I don't have to try that. I've never used a PR agency.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I've been on national TV, I've been on television in Nigeria, across Africa, on national radio. I've never ever used PR. And I'm not trumpeting my own horn. I'm saying when you give and you promote others, you get built consequently, incidentally, it happens along the way.
Definitely.
I've never focused on building numbers for myself. I've always just focused on helping others. And you know, a lot of the stuff that I've gotten involved at and times I've had clients that have had tough times financially, cash flow pinches and I've continued servicing them. Perhaps others would judge me for that and say, well, that's not savvy. You know, that doesn't make good business sense.
Yeah.
I promise you, for me, it's made outstanding business sense. And very often when the wheel turns, it turns from a direction. It comes back to you from a place that you weren't expecting it to, but it always turns.
Definitely. Well, thank you for sharing your story. It's a real pleasure. We're coming towards the end of the show. One thing that I did want to ask is, where can we find out more about you? Where can we find out more about your work? And
Google. No, anybody that wants to chat to me can visit my website. Chat to me on Twitter. I like to have Twitter conversations. I get less time to just sit on Twitter and tweet. I don't get as much time as I want to for that anymore these days, but you're welcome to hit me up on Twitter, those of you who are watching. I'm so glad some of you came and watched, and I hope you're going to tell your stories. Lynette, I hope you're going to tell your story. Cherie, Peter, Stephen, Nisha, thank you. And to the rest of you, Zara, and I'm trying to see handles on the side here. Melanie, thank you very much. It's so great to have people from across the world be able to jump in. And like I said, we've all got something to share, and we've all got a lesson to bring to the table. So chat to Andy, come and share your story. I will jump in. I'll retweet you. Chat. It's so much fun. It's great to be able to share like that. So I really encourage you to do it.
Yeah.
But you're welcome to hit me up on any social network. And you're welcome to also visit my site or to email me, jackie@gosocialsa.co.za. I'll type that into the comments if you want to.
Well, thank you again, Jackie. We're not finished anyway, because as I said, 30 minutes is the story. And the next 15 minutes is all about you asking Jackie your questions. So I will unlock the room so that any of you can jump in. As I do that, what I will say is, for those of you who want to write a story for your business and your brand that helps you relate to your clients and helps you build an authority and influence in your marketplace in a natural way by sharing your story, please feel free to get in touch. I've also got the Hero's Journey Transformational Coaching, where I guide people through their own hero's journey so that they can become much more of a success in their life using different archetypes, using the structure of the hero's journey, coaching tools, energy work, a number of different things. But yeah, if you want to find out more about that, visit my website, www.hero'sjourney.com. But I'd love for you all to jump in and ask Jackie your questions. And if you don't feel
like,
if you don't feel like jumping in,
go all dash at once.
Yeah, we'll count down, shall we? But if you have any questions, you can feel free to post them on the right hand side as well. And
yeah, there is one. Cherie just asked Andy, what's your website's address again?
It's www.theentrepreneursjourney.tv. So nobody really jumping in, we'll keep the conversation going for a while, and hopefully more people have the courage to jump in. It's all about overcoming your fears, right?
You know, this is the thing. For a long time, I've wanted to do blogging, and I think we chatted a little bit about this the other day. And there's just been this fear attached to it.
Yeah.
It's inexplicable. But I think this might just be the little prod, the little poke that I need to kind of get going and to do it. It seems so easy to hide behind our type texts. And please don't anybody feel judged by me saying that. I'm not judging you at all. I'm one of those people that feels more comfortable hiding behind a type text a lot of the time. Yeah. But I think, you know, video is just so awesome. And the way it's going, if you want to get in there, now's the time, you know, rather sooner than later.
I think it's good to have fear, because fear means we're onto something that's could be really good, you know. I had a fear of getting myself out there in the past, public speaking, but we've all got different fears in many different areas of life, haven't we? No matter who we are in business, there is always some fear or doubt in us that will potentially hold us back and prevent us from actually moving forward. But yeah, I think embrace it, you know, embrace it. So let me ask you another question then, Jackie. So if we look at a few projects you've got coming up in a few months, what would you say a few projects you've got coming up and anything exciting on the horizon?
I do have some exciting ones on the horizon. You know, it's funny. I tried to clear my schedule to make space for me to finish writing a work of fiction. And the more I've cleared my schedule and made space to finish writing, the more digital projects have come my way. Yeah. And so I almost feel like this is just where I need to be focusing at the moment. But one project that I've just been asked to get involved in and I'm quite looking forward to is a video, I wouldn't call it a video sharing app, but it's an app that has to do with video, launching in South Africa. I can't really give away more than that right now.
Yeah.
But it's something that nobody's doing in South Africa at this point. So I've been asked to help with the marketing for that, and that's quite exciting.
Excellent.
It's a startup, and I really, from being involved with the Hookup Dinner, I really have a heart for startups, you know, because it takes so much courage to be able to say, I'm quitting the corporate rat race, and I'm going to do my own thing, like you say. And that's why I really, really chuffed to see Lynette join in. Lynette is a friend who is very successful, but she left the corporate world to start an app development company. And, you know, it takes so much guts to do it. Once you've done it and you're going, you realize, hey, it isn't moonshine and roses, but it's not as bad as I thought it would be.
Definitely.
So I've got a lot on the go, Andy. Some stuff bigger than others.
Yeah.
I really, really just need 3 weeks in a place with no Wi-Fi to finish writing my book.
Yeah, that's good. I look forward to hearing it, like reading your book. I know we've had a few discussions about your book in the past, and it'll be really interesting to have a good read of it. So, yeah, that'd be good.
We'll get there.
It's interesting, like, talking about the startups. When I talk about the hero's journey, I did a video the other day and talking about the fear and the doubts and the challenges. And I would say those challenges that we face aren't really setbacks. I would say they're actually stepping stones, you know. Those things that we might not get right, they're actually stepping stones to guide us to find the right direction, you know, find out different ways of doing things that would be right for us. Because I don't think there's ever an exact answer, is there? There's never an exact answer, but there are things that we can do in order to do the best we can with what we've got and the way we approach things, you know.
Mm. I've definitely found that in retrospect. At the time when you're experiencing a setback, you very often don't see it for what it is.
Yeah.
But oftentimes in retrospect, looking back, you can see how those setbacks helped you. They actually took you forward in a direction that you possibly weren't expecting. Nisha asked, yeah, if there's anything that I want to do that I haven't done. And I just wanted to say welcome to Lane Watson and to Gabby. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things that I want to do that I haven't done. When I was 17 years old, I sat down and I wrote a list of 100 things in a notebook. I'm always writing things down on pieces of paper and in books. I have a fetish for hardcover books. I buy them and I write things in them. So I feel sorry for my children one day when I die and they have to sift through all my writing. But who knows, maybe it'll be worth something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I came across this list and I realized that there's actually still so much that I haven't crossed off.
Yeah.
And skydiving is definitely right up there for me. I really, 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 really want to do that.
Very cool.
Anything that pushes the boundaries of just facing your fears and getting over them. Like,
yeah,
I have this huge dream to own a motorcycle and to learn to race on the track. Like,
very cool.
I really, really, really want to do that. And yeah, it's maybe not your conventional approach for a mom of two in her middle years, but that's what I'd like
to
do.
We've all got our dreams, right? They may not be the best dreams for everybody else, but they're definitely our dreams. So that's what matters.
Andy, I've got to give you a high five for that. That's the truth.
No, that's excellent.
Does anybody
I'd love to do a skydive, actually.
Okay.
I would love to do a skydive myself. I was 30 in August, and I did an indoor skydive, which was the air sort of thing. But I will do an outdoor skydive very soon. But yeah, that's one of my biggest fears as well, like jumping out of a plane. But I'd love to do it, like the adrenaline rush. Sadly, you didn't get the adrenaline rush from the air sort of thing. But
yeah. It must be awesome. It must really be, like, you know, that's really pushing it. And I'm not generally an adrenaline junkie, but that would be really cool. Yeah. I see that we have another question here. About coaches, mentors, or masterminds, and who was my guiding star. And I didn't mention her by name, but really, and I have had a few, as I said earlier. My mom has definitely been a mentor in my life, but Mrs. Jennings, I know you're not listening to this, but thank you very much for being there for me and for offering me guidance in so many different ways that you're not even aware of. You know, people come into your life, and very often you might not see them as a mentor or a coach, yet they influence you and they input into your life. And it's also sometimes only looking back that you realize that that's the role that they played.
Yeah.
And it's not always a formal arrangement. And I can actually say that of Cherie. For instance, she's influenced me. She's played a mentorship role in my life as well, without even really, and I mean, unwittingly perhaps, you know. So I'm just fortunate. I've had a lot of those people.
Definitely. No, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. And one other thing that I love about the hero's journey and what it's all about is that these archetypes, these mentors, these people of inspiration in our life, are so important to us. Mm-hmm. They're the people that, like Joseph Campbell, describes them as our conscience. You know, they're our guiding star, like Omi mentioned, and yeah, we do need them in our lives. So I say, embrace those people in your life and look up as much as you can, and really take on board the full experience, so that you can fail as much as you can and learn as much as you can at the same time. You know, it's all about learning. So is there anything else you want to share?
That startup catchphrase, if you're not failing fast enough, you're not moving fast enough. So do more, move quicker, fail sooner, and get back up and keep going.
There's one more question. We got one more question from the audience before we close out. How easy or difficult is it to remain authentic to yourself and your values as you build your business?
That's such a key question. That's such a very, very good question. And that has been the main thing that I've had to deal with this year, my biggest issue and my biggest struggle. It's been a personal one, and that has been what it is, to really be true to myself. I think from a social media point of view, it's so easy to get caught up in worrying about what other people are doing, other people's numbers, other people's projects, because we live in such a transparent society, and everybody online is showing their best sides. So you're seeing the best that I'm portraying, and you're seeing the best that everyone else is portraying. It's their showreel, but it's not real. It's not authentic. And it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It doesn't matter who's got a bigger project or a greater following or more blog readers or making the big bucks. What actually counts is, are you being true to your values? Yeah. Are you living authentically? What you're portraying lining up with how you're really living and feeling inside? Yeah. And that, I think, is a struggle for a lot of people in the age of information, because we feel compelled to always put up that good front, protect your brand. You know, you don't want to put anything out there that is going to in some way affect you negatively in terms of people's perception.
Yeah.
But I think if you can just be true, you know, Shakespeare said it, to thine own self be true. Whatever's on the inside needs to line up with what you're showing on the outside, walking the talk, you know. So that's been a struggle for me this year, to really just come to terms with, what is it that I want? What is my purpose? Why was I put here? And am I living that out? Is my life on and offline a reflection of my heart on the inside? And if I can encourage anybody tonight, that's something that Andy helps people to do as a coach. Andy's actually a very highly qualified coach and therapist, and a person that can really help you to get your story out there. So speak to him, really, to live from the heart and to live authentically. That is, I think, something we should all be striving for.
Yeah, thank you very much. And that's I would say that's a perfect end to the show. And at the same time, I would say that's what the show is all about. The show is all about people getting across their authenticity, getting across who they really are and what they're all about. And at the same time, you know, every story has everybody's story is different, but everybody has their own fears, challenges, doubts. Most importantly, their vulnerabilities. And those vulnerabilities make us who we are, and they really allow us to build and represent who we are in our brand and in our business. And with that, I just wanted to say thank you all for tuning in tonight. I do hope you've enjoyed the interview. We will be on again next week at the same time, 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And that's 10 p.m. your time, is that, in South Africa?
It's now
9 p.m.
quarter to 10, almost, yes. Who are you interviewing next week, Andy?
It's very interesting, actually. I seem to be interviewing a lot of people from South Africa at the moment.
Awesome!
who do we have on the first show? We had Brian on the first show. We've had you today. And we have my friend Effie, who lives in Bournemouth now, but he's originally from Africa. Okay. But he's got a very inspiring story of what led him to doing what he's doing today. So again, it would be great for you to tune into that next week. And again, thank you all for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you all again soon. And I'll say bye for now.
Thanks, Andy. It was awesome to chat to you. And I hope some of you guys that have watched are going to get in touch with Andy and tell your story too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Have a great week. Cheers.
The Entrepreneur's Journey. Create your empowering business story. Interviewing successful entrepreneurs from around the world to share their inspiring journey to success. Tune in live every week for your weekly dose of inspiration. Visit www.theentrepreneursjourney.tv for previous episodes.